60% of retirees said they wish they could have a retirement planning do-over. What was the biggest financial regret plaguing retirees, and what can we learn from the past to better prepare for the future? That and more coming up here on Wealth Health Radio.
And now, Wealth Health Radio with Joe Murphy.
Welcome in. This is Wealth Health Radio. I'm consumer advocate Steve Siddall. Joe Murphy is here. Joe, investment advisor, representative, independent fiduciary. Of course, you'll find him at Murphy Wealth Management. Been helping folks for more than 20 years. MWMfinancial.tax is the website. And we have officially kicked off summer. Joe, what's going on?
We have, Steve, and some good financial news is the settlement date on trading is now T plus 1 day. So 1 day quicker to settle trades. So very excited about that. That's a heck of a way to kick off the summer, you know it?
Yeah, sure, exactly. you throw out statistics and I love them, but I mean, 60% of us want a do-over. By 2030, 1 in 5 Americans will be 65 or older. That's a bunch.
That is a bunch. And, you know,
what does that mean for us?
It just means that we have a lot of resources that need to be allocated to a large segment of our population that is in that retirement or retirement red zone. So there's a lot of people that are in the same boat right now, Steve, saying, have I saved enough? Do I have the taxes planned out? Do I have my income plan out? So it's a busy time for advisors trying to make sure that we can have customized plans for everyone that's walking through this door with the same type of frenetic panic saying, help me, please.
Exactly. But, you know, as we look at this, this is kind of about regrets, and we want to avoid those. So, obviously, when 60% of retirees say they'd go back and plan their retirement differently, if you're 50, start now.
Yeah, you do. You need to start. And, you know, the younger that you start, the better your outcome is going to be. I'm not a big regret guy. I'm not a hindsight guy. Yeah. You know, I look at things as experiences, as learning points. And, you know, it's not so much about, you know, rejection of the past. It's more about redirection. So wherever you are, it's never too late to save. And again, we have so many unknowns and now so many prevalent threats like inflation. The rising cost of goods and services in this country have just crippled so many of our retirees that are on a fixed income. It's scary out there. And everybody is trying to get the best plan for themselves and their family. And you have all these threats out there. And then you have people that maybe haven't saved enough. Steve, the latest study on the U.S. savings rate is alarming. You know, we use as Americans all the way up until the last year, we were saving almost 8.6% of our income for retirement, for emergency accounts, you know, almost a 9% savings level. That's down to 3.6%.
Oh, cut it out. That's terrible.
It is, but it's a trend. You know, it's a trend that we're seeing. Our balances are way, way down right now. They're not where they need to be. So I think we need some planning. We need to get people back on the right track, and we need to let them know that it is never too late. I mean, Steve, if you think about this, just think about this. If you start, and how many people really start saving when they're in their 20s? Not many. You know, you're getting out of school. Maybe you have student loans. You are starting a family. Kids are expensive. You know, you're just getting out into that world. But if you could save, and this, I'm going to use historicals here. This guy doesn't tell the future. But if we look at historicals and performance, I think this really hits the point is the earlier you start, the better. So a 25-year-old that puts $6,000 a year just into an IRA. So we're not even counting the 401k. Right. And let's just say we had a 5% balance and you save from 25 to, let's say, 70, and you pop $6,000 a year like clockwork. We're not even looking at the contribution limits rising every year due to inflation. We're just saying $6,000 flat at 5% inflation adjusted return. So we're not shooting the moon here. 5%, you would have over $1 million sitting in your IRA at the age of 70.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
And if we bring the return down to 4%, Steve, you're still sitting at $757,000. But the thing is that do many people start at that age? And the answer is no. Maybe they start at 35. And, you know, starting 35, that million-dollar IRA at 5% is now $571,000. So that runway is really, really important. So if you have kids, you have grandkids, encourage them to start saving, because even if they save a little bit less, let's say instead of putting that full six in, they put $3,000 for that 10-year period to age 35. That 571 that they would have had is now 795,000. This is the most important part, guys, is start saving. The earlier you start, the longer runway you have, the more the magic of that compounding interest will impact your outcome in a very positive way.
Folks, if you're interested, if that sounds good to you, certainly sounds good to me, give us a call, 800-930-5905, and set up a time to talk with Joe. We're running by some statistics, regrets, if you will, and I'm with you, Joe. I don't really have a lot of regrets, but people are saying 63% of retirees would prefer to receive, or 63% of the people said they would like to receive an automatic paycheck. Well, yeah that's called planning.
planning. And look, you know, when pensions went the way of the dodo with the advent of the defined contribution plan, our 401ks and our 403bs, it all became do-it-yourself. That's very stressful to look at a pile of money that represents your life's work and say, all right, how do I divvy this up to make sure I don't run out of money before I run out of life? And before, the market is just screaming right now. So you're like, yeah, you know what? Just put it aggressive. I'll make that money up. But now we've had recent volatility. We've had the rising costs of goods and service that have just smacked everyone in the face. There's a lot of uncertainty, so people want an absolute. They want that pension stream. They want it done. That is why annuities have become so popular in the last couple years, Steve.
Well, I think when you couple, you know, the interest in annuities, you just said in 2023, Americans bought $360 billion of annuities.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're very, very. This is the most popular that I've seen annuities in general, Steve. And that's the reason. You know, what are annuities in their essence? It's a contract between you and an insurance company. And what it insures against is not living too long, you know, not living out your money. That is an appeal. Not having to worry about outliving your money is a huge appeal and why these annuities have taken off. But it just keeps growing and growing. And annuities in general, with the interest rates this high, because insurance companies are highly restricted with how they can invest, they're investing in fixed income, they're investing in cash and derivatives at a 5.5%, almost 6% interest rate. They're making a lot of money, and they have moved that over towards their clients. These annuities, the participation rates, your ability to make money based on market movements, the income payout factors, everything is the highest that I've seen in at least 15 years. So it is a great time, and people are jumping on board with these things to have one little box checked to say, you know what? I got that covered. I know I'm going to have this income. That lifetime income, Steve, is the appeal.
That's the key, Joe, as you've taught me well over the last few years. You mentioned that the interest rates are way up, and is that one thing that we can say thank you to inflation for?
Yes, I think like anything, just like the last time it happened, you know, in the early 80s, you know, you had 15% CD rates. You also had really sky high mortgage rates.
Right.
So, you know, there's pros and cons to high interest rates. Not good for banks so much as it is for insurance companies. And, you know, banks and insurance companies are very different entities, but people tend to look at them similarly, and they're not. You know, banks make money lending. You know, the more that they lend, they take in your depository money, they want to lend that out. They're going to pay you 5%, but right now they're lending at maybe 8.5, 9. That's how banks make money. But that also comes with a very specialized risk, Steve. They have credit risk. In this environment where savings levels are down, you're starting to see increased default. That's why people are migrating from the bank CDs over to the annuities, because the insurance companies do not have that type of risk. Insurance companies have no credit risk, and they actually have to have, for every dollar they bring in premium, they have to have a dollar in reserve. That type of absolute is very appealing to people in a world where we have seen some banks fail recently. We've seen First Republic, a major bank, go down. What's going to happen in the future? If these interest rates stay up this high, it's not very good for banks. So people are migrating over to the insurance companies, because throughout history, they have proven to be very stalwart in very economic and uncertain times.
Well, I think it's interesting, the statistically, 2023, $360 billion. The last time it was, well, it was, wasn't that high, but the last highest, it broke the record, but the last highest was 2008.
Yeah.
Similarities?
Yeah. Very, very similar. We're starting to see a lot of similar trends right
now.
Yeah,
there's, no kidding.
You know, people are preparing, but I'm not sure that people know what they're preparing for. I think the uncertainties keep hitting us in the face, and it's like, what's going to happen next? Nothing will shock me in this day and age, Steve. And I think, look, you work hard. You want a dependable future. You want an absolute, and that's where the annuity comes in. But it is not the be-all, end-all. It is not the absolute solution for everything. And as you see, as annuities get more and more popular, the people that are selling them become very varied. We were talking about TikTok. Talking to Chrissy. And I had Connor put me on. I've never been on TikTok in my life. But I wanted to see what these guys were saying about indexed annuities. And it looked like someone walked over my grave, Steve. I was like, I can't believe that this is how they're promoting them. Do they have a fit? They do. But are they all for everything? No, they are not. They are very specific in their needs for the clients. And it is a distribution vehicle first and foremost. The growth or potential growth is gravy on top, Steve. But it's that distribution what really creates that lifetime income that is the big appeal and how it fits in our plans here at Murphy Wealth.
And again, on that note, Joe, let's wrap up this segment, but I want to pick this up again when we come right back.
Oh yeah, we could talk about this stuff all day long, Steve. And we're going to do this offer to our radio listeners this week. And thanks for tuning in to Wealth Health Radio. You guys are awesome. So next 10 callers into the show are going to get a 15-minute consult, no cost, no obligation, 15-minute phone call with me, Joe Murphy, this fiduciary financial advisor that is in your ear right now. Steve, give our listeners that magic number, and we are going to get to work.
800-930-5905. That is the number. We're giving you a chance to review your individual circumstances. As Joe points out, there is no cost, there is no obligation to find out how much risk you're really taking. What about red flags that could be a problem? Do you really know what you're paying in fees or commissions? These are the kinds of things we're talking about. Joe can help you there. And tax liabilities, part of the conversation, and a lifetime retirement income plan that includes maximizing your Social Security benefit. If you want to take advantage of this complimentary review, simply pick up the phone and call 800-930-5905. 800-930-5905. Quick break. We're back. Lots more to talk about on Wealth Health Radio with Joe Murphy.
When we come back, we're going to continue the conversation right here on Wealth Health Radio and digest the different types of annuities, some good, some bad, and some in between. We're going to talk about all that right after this.
On Wealth Health Radio. Joe Murphy's here. I'm Steve Siddall. We are having a great conversation. Got into annuities a little bit, Joe, and again, it's not like we haven't talked about it before, but right now they really are becoming more popular, and I think we have to be careful. To me, this is if there is ever a red flag that you should be working with an independent fiduciary advisor, this is the time.
good point. You know, annuities have been around for a long, long time, guys. And the advent of the indexed annuity specifically has become very appealing from different types of brokers and agents and financial advisors that can use these things to help with their plans. Here, we are not an annuity shop by any means, but I do like the benefit of lifetime income and how they work in our plans. So, you know, it just depends on exactly what you're looking for, what type of fit could be in your best interest. That's why a fiduciary can really help you digest that. You don't want something that's all they do is life insurance or annuities, because what are they going to try and do? Square peg, round hole every single client that walks in the door.
Sure.
You want
Yeah, and you're wondering whose retirement they're funding.
Exactly. You know, are they doing it for me? Yeah. Or are they doing it for themselves? And, you know, that's a question that most people can answer on their own.
Yes.
But for us, it's a tool. It's one tool. In every client, we don't just say, okay, this is a perfect fit for an annuity with everyone that walks in the door. But in certain circumstances, Steve, I love how they match up with pre-tax money, because annuities in general have that specialized tax deferral. Okay, so they're already tax deferred. So is your pre-tax account. Annuities are distribution vehicles that offer lifetime income. IRAs and 401k money or your 403b has required minimum distributions that force you to start distribute them. So if the government's going to make me take this, I want to take it in the most efficient manner. You're not going to lose any tax benefits on your pre-tax account because the annuity and your pre-tax account are both taxed as ordinary income. That allows us to plan. When we know our client's future income, Steve, we can plan for that ordinary income taxation and help manage those RMDs down the road. So for me, if I know I have an account that I have to distribute no matter what, or I'm going to pay a 25% penalty, I want it in the most efficient distribution vehicle there is, and that is where the annuity has play in our firm.
And we have, there are different types of annuities. You talked about fixed, you talked about indexed, and I know that variable is not a favorite of pretty much anybody except the people selling them.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to go back to fixed real quick, Steve, because
yeah,
I think
no
it's
problem.
Important because interest rates are really high right now. And
yes.
Fixed annuities are very comparable to CDs and treasuries. You know, they're offering a fixed rate of return for a certain period of time. But when you look at bank CDs versus fixed annuities, so if I have a five-year CD that's paying me 5%, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to get a 1099 every single year. If I'm using after-tax money, I'm going to get a 1099 on that interest. If I'm here in Indiana, I also got to pay state taxation in addition to federal. So I'm not really getting that true 5%. With the annuity, we're just talking about how well they match up with pre-tax accounts. You get the awesomeness of tax deferral. So that 5% on that five-year fixed annuity, you're not paying taxes on that 5% return. That continues to roll, and you get compounding interest not only on your principal, but on the interest that grows. So you don't have to pay taxes until you draw it out. So when you compare a CD that is taxable versus an annuity that is tax deferred, the growth is going to be much more substantial in the fixed annuity that is in the CD. And what's the biggest thing that most of our clients bring up? Well, I want the FDIC insurance. And that makes sense to me. You know, you want that backing. So a lot of people just say, you know what, I'm getting my CD. I'm not worried about the taxation. You have that FDIC insurance. It's guaranteed. And for some clients, that may be a fit. But for others, they look at insurance companies. And again, as we talked about in that first segment, what is the real risk in this environment? It's credit risk, it's lending risk, it's the ability for borrowers to pay back those loans. And what happens if people lose faith in our banking system? There could be a run on deposits. There could be credit defaults. These are all real risks that are in our face right now. That's why we've seen so many people migrate over to the fixed annuity because, again, insurance companies sidestep that very specific risk. There's other risks with annuities. They're not, you know, nothing is all good and nothing is all bad. But do yourself a favor. Compare that CD that you're about to go into to a fixed annuity and see if it makes sense for you. It can open up a lot of eyes that said, you know what, I never considered that before. That's how we learn, Steve, is looking at new things. It doesn't mean you need to go into it, but educating yourself on what's out there or having a fiduciary explain the differences to you so you can weigh those pros and cons. To me, that's prudent. That's how we make smart money choices, Steve. That's how we can control the outcome of our retirement.
Folks, if you want to get a head start, it's 800-930-5905. So let's keep going on the kinds of annuities, Joe,
yeah.
In terms of, all right, so we covered fixed. And then the next one, indexed?
Indexed, yep. And these are the most popular right now. So your returns are based on market performances on the internal indices inside the annuity. Here's the catch. You're not actually invested in the stock market. So you get the upside of those internal indices, which are based on stock market performance, but you're not actually invested in the market. That insurance company is holding that dough. So how does the insurance company, and this is a common question that I get all the time, Steve, how the heck does an insurance company guarantee against future market risk? And by that, I mean, if there's a negative 30% year, you're going to get a 0% return. But that 0% return is your hero in that year because you're not down 30%. How are they offsetting that? And then how are they giving the potential upside of the market without getting their clocks cleaned? Insurance companies use something called straddle options, where they're covering the downside with their put options and they're covering the upside with the call options. So no matter which direction the market goes, that insurance company is in the money. They can cover their policyholders. A lot of people ask that question, Steve, and I wanted to give a general response so people are like, that sounds too good to be true.
The right. insurance company, does kind of.
Yeah, but the insurance company is using a smart money strategy using options to cover both sides so their clients can enjoy not only potential upside, but never have a market loss as long as that money is in that account. To me, it makes a lot of sense in certain circumstances. Are these things going to compete with the S&P 500 index? No, they're not. They're not going to have the same upside. But imagine if you invested $100,000 in the S&P 500 versus $100,000 into an indexed annuity with an S&P internal indice, you might see, say, that very first year, the market's down 20%. Well, on your annuity, you're sitting at zero. That following year, Steve, you're going up from that initial premium, not from down whatever it was, 20%. So you can imagine yourself looking at a staircase. You are only going to step up. That has an appeal to a lot of people that maybe say, you know what, the CD rates are great right now. These interest rates are fantastic, but they may not be like that in 3 years. Then what do I do to catch up? Do I need to take more risk? Or do I put that money into an indexed annuity and enjoy the potential upside and not have to sweat downside market losses?
Wow. That's a lot, Joe, in terms of why you want the indexed or why that might be a different
yeah.
choice for you. I like it. Choices. That's really
yeah.
what it comes down to.
Steve, that's really what it's all about. And, you know, I've been doing these things for over 20 years, so they have changed a lot. I mean, let me tell you, in 20 years. But my ears to the ground, I am very educated. A lot of investment advisors, they hate annuities. They won't even look at them. To me, it's a puzzle piece. And if it makes sense for the client, I'm going to show it to them. I'm going to educate them. But I take it upon myself to make sure I know all the top companies, which ones are good, which ones are good for growth, which ones are good for income. So that is what my job is, to find a suitable placement. But I'm only going to use an A-plus rated carrier. That is important to me, and it's important to my clients. I may be able to get a better rate with a B-rated insurance company, but I'm not doing that because the risk of default increases. So I want financially sound, financially impeccable, I should say, mm-hmm. insurance companies to invest my clients' hard-earned money.
And that's really what it's all about, because how do I mean, again, as just a guy on the street, how do I know what's good, what isn't? That's why we go to you for that, you know, the independent fiduciary.
Yeah. And Steve, look, you can go to TikTok too. And I did. And I said, I had Connor go in on that and I was floored. I was absolutely floored. And there's going to be some fallout from the promotion of this. So just be very, very careful, guys. I always suggest to my clients as well, get a second opinion. You know, do a little bit of research. Take all this information that I've given you and write out some questions, write out some pros, write out some cons, and let's address that. The guys on TikTok, they're dancing. They got laser beams going off. I mean, they're screaming, dancing, promoting. I would never put my hard-earned money into something like that. I want to know how it fits in my plan and what it's going to do for me, not just now, but in the future. Maybe I'm different. Maybe I should like laser beams, but I'm not doing that to my clients.
No.
So
no.
It's got to be a good fit.
Exactly. And again, you know, a lot of these guys and gals on TikTok, well, who are they? They're nobody.
No.
They're not experts.
No.
But it's all about clicks.
All you got to, yep, exactly. You make it exciting, you bring it in. And the thing that's killing me is they're bringing younger people into these annuities and promising the growth that I was just talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I would much rather see those kids with a long runway, as long as they have the risk tolerance to sock that money into the stock market, let it grow that way. Because once you put it in the annuity, Steve, remember, you get the tax deferral, which is fantastic, but you also have ordinary income taxation on the gains. Unlike an investment account that I can tax loss harvest, I have long-term capital gains, which may be 0 to 20%, much better than having to take out gains at your tax bracket, which may be 24% federal, and then you have state taxes on top of it. So there, again, pros and cons. Everyone is different. There is not a good fit for everyone out there. Just be very careful. If you're watching TikTok or YouTube and you see that and someone's saying this is the greatest thing, walk away. Do a little research. Call a fiduciary. Call us. We'll help you hone in a strategy to create that income without giving it up to some guy shooting off laser beams.
I understand. Well, folks, if that appeals to you, make that call right now.
Yep. And guys, we're going to do this offer again this week and next 10 callers into the show. If you have one burning financial question, or maybe you're looking for that pre-retirement plan because you're in that retirement red zone and you're starting to get nervous, we can help you out. So whatever it is, if it's financial, odds are we're going to be able to help you out. Next 10 callers, Steve, give them that magic number and we're going to get to work.
800-930-5905. That is the number. No cost, no obligation to help you get a better handle on your own financial situation. Find out what your investments are costing you because of fees or commissions. That's what we're talking about right here. Tax implications, how that impacts your income. Let's go ahead and make that call right now. 800-930-5905. That's 800-930-5905. A quick break. More to talk about here on Wealth Health Radio with Joe Murphy.
When we come back, we're going to wrap up our talk on annuities and we're going to focus on variable or investment-linked annuities right after this.
We are back on Wealth Health Radio. Joe Murphy's here. I'm Steve Siddall. We are having a great conversation. We spent most of the last segment talking about the different kinds of annuities and really why they are a really good tool right now. Well, they always are, but right now they seem particularly good, Joe.
It's wild right now. Again, you know, you can look at annuities that are released today versus those maybe like 3 years old. And that's why we always encourage our clients, if you purchase an annuity from 2019 or before, give us a call. You know, we may be able to, what we're calling, almost refinance that annuity into the rates that are current right now. You would have access to modern crediting methods, the ability with these participation rates. And you know what? I shouldn't just say participation rates. Let me define what that is. Participation rates, let's just say you are in your indexed annuity and you're indexed against the S&P 500. And let's just say the return for your first year is 10%. Well, if you had 100% participation in that index, you would get that 10%. A lot of these insurance companies are offering elevated participation rates. I've seen them as high as 350%, which means that 10% gets 3.5 times tagged to it, and you're getting 35% on that index credit for that year. So when we're talking about, and that doesn't promise future gains, guys, that just puts you in a position, if the market does move up, you're gonna enjoy a lot more with the current participation rates than the ones that were in the past. Again, interest rates dictate how these insurance companies price their annuities. Higher interest rates equals more for the people, and we really like that.
Yes, indeed. All right, so let's talk about the variable annuity, and I've heard horror stories about them, and let's figure out what is it that might be wrong with them, and can you fix them?
Well, Steve, let me just give you an example on me. So yep. I think 3 years ago, I ended up dropping my variable license for variable universal life and variable annuity. That's how strongly I do not like them.
Yes.
And here's why. So a variable annuity is very similar to every other annuity, but the way that you earn money is investment linked. And they usually have a menu of mutual funds. Think about your 401k. You look in at your investment options, you're gonna have target date funds, and then you have some individual mutual funds. The variable annuity has that same type of menu choice. So let's just say that you're paying usually for a variable annuity, let's say average fee is gonna be anywhere between 1.25 and all the way up, I've seen them as high as 2%. You are not only paying a fee for the annuity, but you are also paying a fee for entry into each mutual fund that you invest. So we see very fee heavy, and not all of them are like this, guys, but the ones that we see that come across our doors that immediately red flag is the ones we're looking at 2.5% to 3% fees. So what that does is your performance on those mutual funds is dragged down by that fee on the upside. And if we have some volatility, which if everyone can remember back in 2022, 2020, any type of dip, if you looked at your quarterly statement on your variable annuity, you were like, how did this go down so far?
Yes.
It's a fee with losses, so they can really sink like a rock. And a lot of them say, hey, well, you know what? You got a death benefit guarantee on your high water mark. So if you're 100 grand turning 150, your death benefit is 150. Well, I got a news flash. How does that help me? That may help my kids, but it's not going to help
right.
me.
Exactly.
So to me, it's not worth the risk. I would much rather invest into an active traded portfolio with tax loss harvesting than dump that money into an annuity with those high fees and all that risk that's associated with it. So again, each person has to do their own due diligence, find out what their best fit. Not everything is, not all variable annuities are bad. Not all indexed annuities are good. You have to know the right ones, or you have to be with someone that looks at a broad-based perspective as opposed to, this is my product. It's every person that comes in this door is getting this annuity, come heck or high water. That's not the way to do it, guys. You have to plan. Again, these are tools. They can be implemented, but they are not for everyone, and they are certainly not for every situation.
All right, 800-930-5905. Let's get into, you know, we talk about that financial red zone, that retirement red zone.
Yeah.
We get into that, and there are some milestones along the way. Let's dig into some of those milestones and figure out why it is that they're important and how we can really use them to help us.
Oh, I think that's great, Steve. And there are milestones that a lot of people have heard the terminology, but maybe they're not familiar. This is a great time for a brush up. Turn up that dial and let's dig into this, Steve.
Sure. All right. So the final 10 to 15 years before you retire, that's the red zone. And you want to make it into the end zone, certainly. And you turn age 50, we can crank up some more contributions.
Yep. And we talked a couple of shows ago just how much impact that can have for those catch-up contributions. So your 401k, your 403b, your workplace retirement plan, you hit 50, you can sock away another $7,500 a year for a total catch-up of $30,500 in 2024. And then just remember, guys, in 2026, 50 plus is going to be divided into two groups. This is where I did the Neil Diamond joke the last time, Steve, if you remember.
Yes.
Under $145,000, you can put that catch-up into normal pre-tax. But over $145,000 in income in 2026, you are in the Roth only. Thank you very much for that. Give me entry to that Roth on an extra catch-up.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And the Secure Act 2.0 also has a COLA increase on that catch-up contribution. 2024 was only a grand. I think it should have been more with the inflation data that came back, but it was earmarked at $1,000. But future catch-up are going to be indexed against inflation. Love it. Love the Secure Act. Love what it's doing. It's really having an impact as these years go by and we start hitting these marks. We're going to see more and more friendly retirement rules for people that need to sock away a lot or got a late start. This is for
sure.
You. Take advantage of it.
And when we turn 55, so we're 50, we got catch-up contributions, 55, penalty-free distributions if you're retired from your 401k, is that true?
Yeah, this is the rule of 55. So
okay.
Yeah, I see a lot of people, we get a lot of people from U.S. Steel, they're very well versed on this. I think they might have like a broker that comes out and educates them on the rule of 55. But basically, everyone knows or should know if you have pre-tax money, the rule 59.5. That's where if you take money out under 59.5, the IRS dings you with that nasty 10% penalty and the taxation on that withdrawal. We call it the stinger, and it really is. But the rule of 55, you need to hit two things here to get the rule of 55. And what that allows you to do is withdraw 401k or pre-tax money without that 10% penalty. So the withdrawal has to occur the year you turn 55 or later, and you have left your employer. So those two, you have to be 55 or older and have left your employer, and you can take that money out of that 401k. You can't roll it over to an IRA. You got to keep it in that 401k status, and you can take those withdrawals without that 10% penalty. The pitfall that we see is the yee-haw, I can get at my money early, right? but they're not considering the taxation. And then the next year, they get that nasty letter from the IRS saying, you owe this plus interest and penalties. Mm. Be very careful when you guys are taking pre-tax money out, guys. The taxation is ordinary income. Illinois, you don't have to worry about state, but here in Indiana, we do. So you get double dinged. Be very careful if you take advantage of that Rule 55. Understand the taxation of that withdrawal and how it will go into play with your tax bracket, not your neighbor John's, your tax bracket. That is the most important thing to remember.
And Joe, the next one, you alluded to this a moment ago, but 59 and a half, really the kind of floodgates are open at that point.
The floodgates are open at 59 and a half. So that's when the IRS says, all right, you know what? You've done your duty. You've done your time. Now you can take it without that 10% penalty. But let me just go back real quick, Steve, because something just popped in my head and I wanted to make sure I mentioned this because we service a lot of firefighters, police officers here, EMTs. Their rule of 55 is actually the rule of 50. They get 5 years earlier that they can access those retirement plans. I wanted to make sure I mentioned that because we do have a lot of police officers that are clients. And if you're listening to this radio show, thank you guys so much for what you do for our country. And I wanted to make sure that I hit on that so they could take advantage of it. And if you have questions on that, feel free to give us a call.
Fair enough. And again, that number to call is 800-930-5905. And so 59 and a half, then we turn 62. Okay, Social Security becomes part of the equation.
Yay, Social Security. So, Steve, we were talking about Tip O'Neill, Ronald Reagan, 1983, Social Security, looking at a bustola. Very similar to what's going on right now.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, handshake deal, backdoor deal. Reagan and Tip O'Neill hammered it out. And what they decided to do was raise the retirement age. That, you know, obviously people weren't taking money as early by raising that full retirement age. So it helped extend Social Security. You need to have a plan, guys. For electing Social Security, it is extremely important that you do have a plan with optimization and making sure that you know all the rules and how they can impact you. Social Security is not legally allowed to advise you. So you want to go in with your plan. You want to be telling them what you want to do, not just listen to them and say, oh, you're calling, let's elect. No, you want to make sure that you put a little thought into this, especially if you're married. Your election could have an impact on your spouse. And if you think about it, sometimes, Steve, we're looking at, you know, 67 is the FRA age for those born after 1960. Sometimes maxing it out to age 70 doesn't make the most sense, especially if you have a spouse. Your spouse could actually get less if you elect at age 70 than if you elect a little bit earlier. So there's so many little tricks. There's so many little things that could be different. Get an optimization. Here at our firm, Amber is a Social Security analyst, and she runs a very proprietary software that we use for our clients that encompasses all the catch-22s, all the maybes, and if this happens, then that. It gives our clients a roadmap on when, for their situation, the optimal time to elect is. And that's really important, Steve, because the worst thing that you can do is make a mistake that is going to impact you for 10, 20, 30 years. That's how time magnifies mistakes. Little things add up to big things, not only in the good way, but also in the bad way.
And on that note, we will continue this conversation, but we need to take a break.
Yep, sounds good, Steve. And we're going to rev it up one more time this week for all our listeners here on AM 560. So if you have a burning financial question, or maybe you're looking for that retirement plan because you're sweating in the retirement red zone, this is for you. One question, 10 questions. We got 15 minutes. Let's get through as many as you want. Steve, give our listeners that magic number, and I'll be waiting by the phone.
You got it, Joe. 800-930-5905, giving you an opportunity to review your individual circumstances, again, with no cost and no obligation. All the things that we've been talking about here, you will talk about with Joe when you call. And how about fees, commissions? How about potential tax liabilities and maximizing your Social Security? We were just talking about that. The important thing is that you make the call while you're thinking of it. Make that call today. Take advantage of one of the 10 spots available, 800-930-5905. That's 800-930-5905. We do need one more break, and we'll come back and continue the conversation right here on Wealth Health Radio with Joe Murph.
When we come back on Wealth Health Radio, we're going to continue to review the retirement rules that you need to know right after this. We'll be right back.
back on Wealth Health Radio with Joe Murphy. I'm Steve Siddall. This is, again, we're digging through. We're up to Social Security. 62, of course, is when you can start. And 67 is when you're finally, everybody's eligible, right?
Yes, that is the full retirement age. That means, Steve, if you, like people that elect pre-full retirement age, and maybe you're still working a part-time job, that's where you have the income limits, where they start reducing. For every $2 you make over that limit, your Social Security benefit gets reduced by one. At age 67, your FRA age, born 1960 or later, you can make $20 million and you're going to get your full benefit. So to me, I like that. And remember, this was a gradual increase in the FRA age. So if you, the maximum benefit, I love talking about this too, because my clients are like, what is the maximum? If I had all the credits and all that, what is the maximum that I could get at age 67? The maximum benefit for Social Security at the age 67 is $3,911 per month. If you wait to age 70, that $3,900 becomes $4,873.
That's like $2,000 more.
It is. So when we have clients that have multiple accounts and maybe a large pre-tax balance, we may want to defer that Social Security so we can fill those lower tax brackets with that pre-tax money and get that guaranteed 8% growth all the way up till the maximum age of 70. Here's the flip side, Steve. If you elect it 62, that $4,873 benefit is now $2,710. When you elect matters.
Wow. That's, I mean, the math doesn't lie here.
No, it doesn't. That's why I like to bring that up. And I tell my clients that. That's why this is such an important time in a retiree's life, is when to elect, especially if you have multiple accounts with multiple tax labels. You can do some really cool tax efficiency planning by filling up some of those lower tax brackets when you retire with that highly taxable ordinary income, defer some of these valuable things that we know the growth. I mean, where are you going to get 8% growth with no risk? Social Security is going to do that for you. Sure. Maybe you have an indexed annuity that has a 8% roll up. We know we're going to get 8% growth on that income account value. So why take it now when we have the cash that we can get out, pay lower overall taxes on that, and maximize our benefits for the future? All little puzzle pieces, Steve, that we fit together for our clients here at Murphy Wealth.
Right. And again, if there's any kind of age difference between the couple, that becomes such another big piece of the puzzle. I mean, there's hundreds of ways, and I'm not exaggerating there, to claim if you're a couple, right?
Yeah, again, you know, I'm not going to proclaim myself as a Social Security election expert. It's not my forte. And that's why the software that we use is the up-to-date rules, regulations, how it impacts. And getting that done can be one of the best things that you can do, not only for you, but for your spouse. Because if you don't consider something, you know, maybe you didn't go to school or you didn't study the Social Security rules, and you make an election that affects your spouse when you pass away, and maybe her lifestyle or her normal living is completely derailed by the election that you made. Maybe it doesn't matter because you're not here anymore, but what happens to your spouse does matter. So we want to make sure that for the clients that come into this firm, that we have both spouses covered. We are considering what happens in the future, what the rules could be. It's really important, guys. Take the time. I'm going to say it again. Make sure you make the optimal election for you and your situation, not your neighbor, John.
So at 70, again, that's the maximum you can take Social Security. You don't wait any longer than that.
Yeah, that's it. If you're not, you're just letting the government sit on your money. So you definitely want to elect at age 70 and take that benefit. And, you know, a lot of people are like, hey, I don't need it. Well, either way, you're getting it. So you can use it to your advantage. You can leverage it into investments. You can pay down debt. You can buy a jet ski. Whatever you want to do, you can do with that money, but you got to take it at 70.
And so this one was interesting to me. 70 and a half. That was one I hadn't heard before.
Yes, that is the QCDs, or Qualified Charitable Distributions. Steve, in this day and age, I can't tell you how many people come in here with ballooned up IRA and 401k balances that is all pre-tax money. So I'll have a client that comes in with maybe a $2.5 million IRA. Well, that sounds all great, but it's not about the amount or the balance. It's about your spendable money and how the rules that are associated with that money are going to play into your future in the future. So if I have $2.5 million that I've let defer and I have this big ballooning balance, now all of a sudden I hit RMD age at age 73, or I take advantage of a QCD at 70 and a half and try and let a little steam off that, I could have massive RMDs coming in during a phase in my life where I really don't want it. This might be the time where you're like, you know what? I'd rather watch that ball game on TV than go to the field. Or, you know, maybe you're dialed in. Now you have this massive pre-tax balance. You have massive RMDs. Now all of a sudden you have a Medicare surcharge, Social Security taxation. It blows up everything. QCDs are a wonderful way to help you manage RMDs and manage those pre-tax balance. So the IRA asset, whatever you put into that QCD, and for 2024, the max is $105,000. You put that in, it is not reportable to the IRS as taxable income, which is huge. So you don't owe zip on that QCD, and it can help satisfy that required minimum distribution. Or if you start pre-RMD, it can keep a check on that balance. Plus, it allows you to do something really good for one of your favorite charities and make sure it's an eligible charity, guys. We've seen that happen. Not a good situation. So if you have questions on QCDs, you want to do a little bit of charitable giving, you have a large IRA balance, this is your time to shine. We can show you not only tax efficiency on your side, but a way to give to the charity of your choice. Again, must be eligible, but your choice, a maximum benefit and tax efficiency to boot. It's like throwing a stone and knocking out a sky full of birds.
Want to learn more, folks? It's 800-930-5905. Make that call today. All right, so on we go, age 73. It used to be 70 and a half, and then it was 72, and then it was now 73. And what's going on with the RMDs, and how is that going to impact me?
So the RMDs, and again, I'm going to go into way, way back. So when you first started contributing to your workplace retirement plan, or you started dumping a little dough into your IRA, what you were looking at was a tax deduction, or you were allowing some of your money to go away tax deferred, which you didn't have to pay taxes up front. Again, when does the government ever give us something up front without hammering us on the back end? Yes. That is pre-tax money, Steve, and that is why it has to be planned for. Because at age 73, the government says, you have deferred on this money long enough. Now we are going to force you to distribute a percentage based on your age. That percentage is going to increase every single year you are on this planet, and we are going to force you to take that money. Why? So you have to pay taxes on it. They don't tell you the extra stuff that money that has to be taken out could have an impact on all your other income. Because remember, when it comes out from pre-tax, it's taxed as ordinary income. So if you're sitting and your accountant's got you bellied up right on that 24, and then all of a sudden you have to take $135,000 RMD, guess what? You got some tax issues. That's why, again, planning ahead, guys, can help you take the steam off some of these balances. I know it's fun and be like, wow, I saved so much. I'm doing so good. Take the next step. Get a little tax planning done. Create efficiency, because again, it's not that beautiful balance that you see on your statement. It's spendable money. It's money without rules. It's money on your terms. These RMDs are on the government's term, and they get to determine their share of your money at a future date. So when we're looking at RMDs, I look at them like they have to be planned for. It's wonderful to see those balances, Steve, but you got to plan for those future forced distributions, or you could find yourself losing control of your own retirement.
Help me understand this about an RMD. So I've got, it's a percentage of what's in the account. And so I take that out and I have to pay taxes on that money.
Yep.
I can't take the taxes from the IRA, can I?
No, you can't take so you can get your taxes withheld. So if I have a distribution, I can withhold. So for our clients here, when we're distributing in an RMD, we're going to do the tax withholding right here. So wherever their tax.
That's great.
Oh, yeah. So I can dial it in, you know, 21%, whatever it is. Here in Indiana, we're paying state taxes, so we can get that withheld. So my client has spendable money. That doesn't take away from the fact that if unplanned, that money that you're receiving still could have an impact on your Medicare. You could be paying a surcharge. It could have an impact on your Social Security. If you're receiving any benefits, that could have an impact. So again, I just like things that are on my terms. I like to have control over the money. And the reason being is when the government has control over it, bad things happen. So do not let yourself become susceptible by not planning, by letting these things go, because they will be in control of your financial future in the terms of those RMDs. And Steve, to further on your point about, yes, you can take it out from one account. It is your overall pre-tax balance. And with 401ks, Steve, if I have six 401ks, I have to calculate and distribute my RMD from each individual 401k, where if I had rolled those into an IRA and did a little bit of planning, I can have two IRAs, I can have one IRA, I can take my RMD from one, leave the other one go. So we can do a lot of planning on the IRA side. The 401k is much more stringent. And again, because 401ks are accumulation vehicles, they help you save. They are not designed to distribute funds. That's why a lot of our clients choose the path of rolling over that 401k to an IRA, especially when they're in this retirement. One last thing, and I'll make on RMDs. To give you guys an overall on the percentage, your first year is probably going to be around 3.8%, almost 4% of your entire pre-tax balance. So if you have $1 million in your IRA, you're taking out about 40 grand in RMDs that very first year. Think about that. Think about how that would affect you. Think about how that would affect your tax situation. This is why you want to plan.
Well, and if that makes you think, folks, now's the time to give Joe a call. Work it out. Map it out. Let's do that, Joe. Let's invite folks to call one more time.
You got it. So this show zinged by, and hopefully it didn't go too fast, but we covered a lot of ground here, and that makes me happy, guys. We want to hit on a lot of stuff because everyone's different out there. So if something that we said today piqued your interest, let's continue that conversation. Steve's going to give you a number. You're going to be connected with our friendly reception, and they're going to schedule a 15-minute intro call with me where you can ask that one burning question. You can request that we get into that complimentary retirement plan that is going to cover tax efficiency, a portfolio review. We are going to look at Social Security. These are the things that we do for our clients, and we want to extend that to our listeners here on AM 560. Steve, you know the drill. Give our listeners that magic number, and I'm going to get to work.
800-930-5905. Make that call today. Don't procrastinate. If you've never done it before, no time like the present to help you get a financial roadmap put together. And you're going to find that it's a practical financial review. Again, it's a phone call away. 800-930-5905. All of the things that we talked about today really can impact you. Joe and his team are there for you to help smooth it out and to help get you the kind of retirement that you deserve. 800-930-5905, 800-930-5905. Joe, as always, a pleasure. Favorite show of the week. You know, we cover so much ground. And again, even through all of this, I thought I knew everything. I didn't. So thank you.
Well, you know what? I like to dive down the rabbit hole and thing. That's probably my history background. I love researching, and I want to know the whole picture before I put my clients in anything. So guys, everyone have a great week. Remember, settlement now is only one day after trade day. So we're going to get that efficiency going. Everyone have an awesome week. Talk to you again soon.
The content of this radio show is provided for informational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell any type of securities. Joe Murphy, MWM Advisory Group, and Murphy Wealth Management are not responsible for the consequences of any decisions or actions taken as a result of the information provided in this radio show and do not warrant or guarantee the accuracy or completeness of the information provided. The information discussed today reflects the views of Joe Murphy and his guests as the date of this show and are subject to change without notice. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Any forward-looking statements or forecasts are based on the assumptions and actual results may vary from such statements or forecasts. No reliance should be placed on any statements or forecasts when making any investment decision. Accordingly, listeners should not rely solely on the information provided today in making any investment decision. There is a risk of loss from investing in securities, including the risk of loss of principal. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and there can be no assurance that any specific investment will be profitable or suitable for a particular investor's financial situation or risk tolerance. Asset allocation and portfolio diversification cannot assure or guarantee better performance and cannot eliminate the risk of investment losses.